Major funding for On Point is provided by Liberty Mutual for all your auto, home, life, and business insurance needs. Liberty Mutual. Responsibility. What's your policy?
From WBUR Boston, I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point. Amon Göth, the brutal Nazi concentration camp commander portrayed in Steven Spielberg's Schindler's List, was all too real. A vicious SS officer responsible for the deaths of thousands of Jews. He had a daughter who only gradually came to realize the enormity of her father's crimes. The new film Inheritance documents the meeting of that daughter and one victim at the site of the camp he ruled. This hour On Point, Inheritance, the brutality of the past and hope for the future. We'll talk with the Oscar-winning director of Inheritance, James Mull, and hear from the meeting he filmed in this hour. You can join the conversation, How Do We Face the Darkest Burdens of History, of Inheritance. Inheritance tells the story of the meeting of two women, Monica Hertwig and Helen Jonas. Monika Hertwig, born in 1946, now lives in Weissenberg, Germany. She's the daughter of the notorious Nazi commandant, Amon Göth.
My father was the commander of the Plaszow concentration camp. He was there for 500 days, exactly. He was responsible for the death of thousands of people.
Helen Jonas, imprisoned at the Plaszow concentration camp near Krakow, Poland, was only 15 when she became Göth's housemaid and slave.
I got to Camp Plaszow, and I was assigned to clean barracks. It was the third day when one very tall SS walked into the barrack. This was Amon Göth. And he was the new commandant of Plaszow. I was cleaning a window. He stopped in front of me. And he said to the woman that took care of us, the orderly, he says, I want her in my house.
Joining me now from Los Angeles is filmmaker James Mull. In 1994, along with Steven Spielberg, he founded the Shoah Foundation, which records video testimony from survivors of the Holocaust. In 1999, Mull won an Academy Award for his documentary, The Last Days, which documented the lives of five Hungarian Holocaust survivors. His film, Inheritance, will have its national broadcast premiere on PBS channels tonight and will be available on DVD in January. You can link to details at our website, onpointradio.org. James Mull, thank you very much for joining us.
Hi, Tom. Thank you for having me.
It's a powerful story that you tell here. How did you intersect with the story of Amon Göth?
It was really by chance. I had done, as you said, I'd been working with Steven Spielberg to collect videotaped accounts of Holocaust survivor experiences. We had, by this time, tens of thousands of interviews with Holocaust survivors all over the world. And he had asked me to produce for the Schindler's List DVD for a 10-year anniversary edition a documentary about Schindler's survivors. And there was a photograph of Amon Göth, and I needed to get the rights to use the photograph. Mm-hmm. And I was told that the rights were held by his daughter, who lived in Germany. So I picked up the phone and called her. Of course, not even thinking, wait a minute, I speak English. Mm-hmm. She speaks German.
Will she?
Mm-hmm. Yes. But she did. She spoke. Her English was good. She was very pleasant. She immediately said, of course, anything you need, I'm very happy to give you any permissions I have to use the photographs. I asked her about speaking English, actually. Mm-hmm. And she said, well, my first boyfriend was American. Mm-hmm. And she started to talk about her life after the war. And it was a very pleasant conversation. And all of a sudden, she said, you know, I'm not my father. And it came out of nowhere, stopped the conversation, gave me a bit of a chill. And I of course, changed you know, my questions. I went into interviewer mode, I guess, into filmmaker mode, and started to ask her about that and ask her about growing up in Germany and if people judged her based on who her father was. And she chuckled a little bit at the question, and we started a very lengthy conversation that day. And I told Steven Spielberg about it just after the conversation, and we agreed it would be fascinating to interview her. Not necessarily for a documentary at this point. That grew as time went on, but we knew that it would be, historically, it would be an important perspective on the Holocaust.
She may have chuckled on that day, but from the film, this woman, Monica Hertwig, and definitely Helen Jonas, the woman who her father essentially kept as a slave and house servant, have struggled mightily and deeply with this history. James, I want to listen to just a short clip from Spielberg's Schindler's List. Many people may remember Armin Gutt is portrayed there by Ralph Fiennes. He's the SS Nazi commandant, absolutely brutal. It's a very affecting portrayal by Fiennes. And here's just a clip from the film where Gutt orders the immediate death of a Jewish camp prisoner who had been serving as a construction project foreman, forewoman.
Shoot her.
What? Herr Kommandant! I'm only trying to do my job.
Yeah, I'm doing mine.
Sir, she's foreman of construction.
We're not going to have arguments with these people.
Then...
Oh, shoot her! Here, on my authority.
It will take more than that.
I'm sure you're right.
Scene from Schindler's List, where Armin Gutt, played by Ralph Fiennes, with that brutality very much on display. James Moll, remind us of the history of this man and his wartime role.
He was the commandant of Plaszów, and he ruled Plaszów. You know, of course, Monica and Helen can talk about him much better than I can, but you know, he was responsible for the murder, brutal murder, of thousands of Jews during this period, and Helen witnessed a lot of it, and you know, she was forced to be his house slave, and she was herself beaten by him many times. It was interesting to hear that scene just now, because it reminded me that Helen, it was that film, Schindler's List, that really gave Helen the courage to want to come and speak out about her experiences. Because when I first approached her about Monica wanting to meet her, she said no. She said, I can't face that woman, meaning Armin Gutt's daughter. She looks like him. She has his eyes, and she was adamant. She couldn't go through it. And later, she came back to me and she said, "I want to talk to you more about this. You know what Steven Spielberg did with Schindler's List, and it's really opened it up for survivors to be able to talk about experiences that they had never been able to talk about before."
Now, Plaszów was a concentration camp, a work camp, and in effect, a death camp. Near Krakow and key because it was actually the camp from which the workers in Schindler's factory came. I mean, those who were saved, many of them had lived at this camp.
That's correct. It actually started as a work camp and developed into a concentration camp over the years. And there was another camp nearby and a factory nearby where Schindler had his workers.
Here's Helen Jones, who had grown up in Krakow with her Jewish family, describing her family's experience, her experience at the beginning of World War II.
I was 14 when the war broke out. Nothing worried me. I really didn't think of anything bad can happen to us. But within a short time, we were told that we all have to move to the ghetto. We had only a few days to take our belongings, whatever we could, and walked to the part of Krakow that was surrounded with stone walls. Within a couple of months, two SS walked into our room and took my father away.
Her father died in that war. Her mother died in the Plaszów work camp, death camp. Her boyfriend died there at the hand of common good. Monika Hertwig, who we will hear from in a few minutes, born after the war's end, her father ultimately hung. She grew up knowing extremely little until finally she began to learn. Here in the film, in the documentary Inheritance, she explains her reaction when her grandmother first told her that her father had been hanged.
They hanged him? Why? And she said they killed the Jews. And I didn't know anything about Jews. I've never seen a Jew in my life. The only one I knew who was a Jew was Jesus and the people around him. But the Jews had lived in Germany. I didn't know. Nobody knew from the younger generation.
But she came to know. She came to know a lot, and through the intercession of director James Moll, actually met Helen Jonas on the grounds of the Plaszow work camp, death camp, in the villa where her father, Amon Gut, had lived, had kept Helen Jonas as a housemaid, as a kind of slave. Inheritance premieres tonight on PBS. James Moll joins us from Los Angeles. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. Talking this hour about the new PBS documentary Inheritance in the POV series on PBS, premiering nationally tonight, looking at inheritance and the meeting of a Jewish Holocaust survivor and the daughter of the Nazi commandant who enslaved her, the award-winning filmmaker, Oscar-winning filmmaker of Inheritance, James Moll, joins us from Los Angeles. Here, from Inheritance, Helen Jonas describes how she was treated by Amon Gut in his villa at the camp.
My first job was to iron his shirt. As I'm ironing the shirt, he slapped me so hard on my cheek. He said, "You stupid Jew, you don't even know how to iron a shirt properly." He says, "In Vienna, a girl your age knows how to iron a shirt, but you're too dumb." And I started to cry. And he hit me so hard again. And that moment, I realized that I have to grow up.
Helen Jonas describing a bit of her life in that camp. Of course, outside, it was worse. Thousands were killed. No small number tortured and killed by Amon Gut himself. Here's, again, from Inheritance, a bit of Monika Hertwig explaining her reaction to hearing about her father's cruelty to the two young maids that were in his villa and to the prisoners under his charge.
That he's able to treat two young girls in that way. And the fear of these girls. I believe everything, but I can't live with it. I can't live with Amon and what he did to the girls and to the victims. But I know it is true.
But she knows it's true. And finally, Monika and Helen met at Plaszow concentration camp. The buildings are gone. The grounds are there. It's a very haunting setting, as shown in Inheritance, the documentary. Here's a scene. Helen shows up before Monika. They're both recorded traveling toward this destination. Helen travels with her daughter, Vivian, from the States. They arrive at the nearly silent grounds here. There are monuments. They're standing at one. Vivian, the daughter, asks her mother, who was the prisoner in this camp, what the Polish or the inscription on the monument there at Plaszow says.
What is it saying?
In years of between 1943 to 1945, few thousand Jews were killed, and they don't know the names, but the only name is Jews.
Helen Jonas, back at the camp in James Maul's documentary Inheritance. We invited Monica Hertwig and Helen Jonas to be with us. Helen initially agreed to join, but it's just all become a little bit too much in recent days as the premiere approaches. But we do have Monica Hertwig with us from Weissenberg, Germany. She joins us now. Monica Hertwig, thank you very much for being here.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
Hello.
We've seen the film. It's powerful. We've seen the pain of Helen Jonas in revisiting this grounds and your own pain in carrying the understanding of your father's role. Can you describe for us what it was like to meet Helen at Plaszów on that sunny day?
Well, you know, I was not alone. The crew with James Moll and Christopher Pavlik was wonderful, and they helped me as much as they could. And without James, I think I would not have been able to meet Helen. It needs help.
Mm-hmm.
And James helped me.
James Maul, your crew shot these scenes of these two women in this wrenching meeting from some distance, long lens. I wonder how you felt as you observed it. It's painful to watch, though it feels quite important to see. But you, in a sense, arranged it. I mean, did you feel
yes.
you...
For me, you know, I hardly can't see it. Because now, I think, you know, I would have done every different. If I would do it again, I just would listen. I wouldn't say anything anymore. Because if you meet people, if you see their feelings and all their pain, it is quite different as if you see it just in a film. You must see the victim, and if you see them and their children, then yeah.
Of course, Monica has very clear ideas about allowing the survivors to be their story, and
mm-hmm.
she feels very strongly that it's not a time for perpetrators' children to think about their own the fact that they too are victims in a sense. And but Monica, everything that you said that day was very important, and everybody learned a lot from it. To answer your question, Tom, it was tough for all of us. You felt you were
in a way toying with these women's deepest emotions, as important as the meeting is, and you can see it in the film. But did you have any second thoughts as you watched the pain unfolding in front of your camera, James?
Not second thoughts. We had talked about it extensively before going. It had to be their decision, not my decision. Initially, it was going to be only an interview with Monica and potentially an interview about...
We may have lost James in Los Angeles for a moment. Let's listen to another clip from the film Inheritance. This again, Monica, you and Helen in the ruins at Plaszów, the concentration camp. Your mother died there. A boyfriend of yours, Adam, had cared for her... Helen's mother died there, and the boyfriend Adam had cared for her as she was dying. Helen tells the story of how your father then one morning asked after Adam rode off, and she heard gunshots just moments later. He was dead. Here's a moment where Helen speaks to you in the ruins of Plaszów.
Those are my people here. I need to come here, and my mother's remnants are still here.
I know that. She's buried here.
Well, my friend Adam buried her.
I know. Adam.
Yeah.
My friend Adam buried her. Her is Helen's mother. At Plaszów, camp in Poland. Monika Hertwig joins us from Weissenberg, Germany. We have James Mall with us again from Los Angeles. The documentary is Inheritance. It's very moving. I want to welcome our listeners into the conversation from Johnson, Vermont. Acacia is on the line. Acacia, you're on the air.
Hello, Tom.
Hi.
Sorry, I'm kind of misting up. I just wanted to, you know, say I'm a big history buff of the Holocaust, and, you know, I follow all the new discoveries and the old discoveries, and I kind of wanted just to extend to Helen kind of just saying, you know, what her father did doesn't reflect at all upon her.
There's Monika, who's with us here today, yes, and
Monika.
Her father, Amon Gut, yes.
I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. I'm kind of,
no problem.
You know, Monika, that what her father did means absolutely nothing, and she's a wonderful woman for what she did, for being able to talk about it. So I just wanted to say that.
Acacia, thank you very much for that. And let me get another call right here from Potsdam, New York. And Jack, you're on the air.
Hello.
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 Hello, Jack.
Yes, hello. Do you want me to speak now?
Yes, please. What are your thoughts?
Well, I heard the comment that said that the German people didn't know what was going on, or the young German people didn't know what was going on. And I take issue with that. That's a very common statement, and it's very far from the truth. At least if people do make that comment, they've got to, the burden is on them to show that's the case. We often hear the same comment in the United States, that the people in the United States didn't know what was happening. But that's also very, very far from the truth. There were advertisements in the United States about what was going on in all the major newspapers around the country. And that's been well documented by the historian David Wyman.
Mm-hmm.
So my point is that that people did know what was going on.
Jack, let me pick it up, if I may, with James Mall and Monika Hertwig. Monika, in Germany, first to you. We heard some tape from the documentary earlier where you were talking about your early ignorance of what had happened, of the full facts of what had happened in World War II, and that many, I believe you were saying in that tape, had the same ignorance. Our caller Jack challenges this. He said, no, people knew. People knew.
Of course, people knew, you know, but I didn't know about Plaszow, and nobody told me about Plaszow besides my grandmother. Jews, I know, what do Jews remember? They remember indifference, enmity, and satisfaction. The only thing Hitler did well was I could hear that he solved the Jewish problem. I know that. I heard it when I was 11 or 12 years old, because I was asking.
Mm-hmm.
But the most children didn't ask anything, you know. And I still remember covered and over satisfaction that Jews had disappeared. And that they went to Israel or to the United States.
Jack made a very good point, but mm-hmm. just to remind everybody, Monika was a baby when when her father was executed.
Mm-hmm.
So Monika, you know, as a child, it was after the war. So you know, Jack's point to children and people in Germany knowing what was going on during the war. He definitely makes a very good point. In Monica's case, it was unique, and she did grow up with her mother not telling her the details of who her father was and what he had done. Mm-hmm. It wasn't until she was 11 years old and she discovered the truth.
Monika, many years later, when you saw Schindler's List, Steven Spielberg's mm-hmm. film, you were still having your eyes open, you say, in Inheritance. You were still learning. What did you see or learn from that film that you had not fully known or understood?
Well, you know, before Spielberg started the film Schindler's List, Ruth committed suicide. My mother committed suicide. And I was so shocked that I think I was depressive. I didn't know before what Amon really had done, because for my mother, Amon was like a god. And I couldn't get any information by her. Bit by bit, I got information from my grandmother when I massively put her under pressure. She was the only one who would have told me anything. And besides this, it doesn't matter if this was a Catholic priest or a teacher. Nobody would have told me anything. It is not true that they told the children anything, you know, about their fathers. Of course, I heard about the process of Auschwitz, and after the process of Auschwitz, there was a process of Treblinka. But nobody in Germany was interested in the process of Treblinka. They all said, we have enough, and we heard enough, and we don't want to hear anything anymore. You had no chance for a dialogue or anything like that. And the worst of all was my person, because I was asking what really happened, but there was no answer. The only day when something changed was when we were watching the film Holocaust. And then in Germany, it was a bit different. People came into a dialogue also in TV. But before, you was not allowed to ask. Children had to obey, and that was all they had to do.
Monica, please stand by. Here's a bit where Helen tells you plenty in the camp at Plaszów, in the villa, about your father.
He was a monster. He was a living monster. He enjoyed what he was doing, but he did it out of pleasure, because I saw his face after killing. He looked content. He whistled coming through the yard. And when he was restless and he didn't sleep, I could hear his steps upstairs. And that was the first thing, 6 o'clock in the morning, when people were marching to work, that he would disappear. And he had a couple of hats hanging near the doorway. And I even knew what kind of hat he's going to put on that he's going to kill people.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour about the new PBS documentary Inheritance and the meeting of a Jewish Holocaust survivor and the daughter of the Nazi commandant who enslaved her as a housemaid in his home. James Maul is with us. He's the Oscar-winning filmmaker and director and producer of Inheritance, which airs tonight on PBS stations around the country. Monika Hertwig, daughter of Amon Gut, the Nazi commandant of Plaszów camp in Poland, joins us from Weissenberg, Germany. We invited Helen Jonas as well and had her until just almost ready to go, and it was just too much for Helen. If you see the film, I think you'll understand how that might be true. They go to Plaszów in the film James Maul has made. They are on the grounds. They're in the villa where he lived, that he strode out of almost every day with that gun at his side. It's a tough, tough scene when Helen and Monica are standing in the little room downstairs where Helen, at age 15, lived as one of the housemaids there. Helen breaks down when they enter the room where she used to sleep. She goes to the window where she used to look out and see prisoners of the Plaszów camp marching back and forth from the camp.
This was my room. This was my room. I used to stand here and look out. This is the window. I used to envy people. They walked to work, and I was all alone.
James Moll, it's almost unbearable watching Helen relive this and her pain, and Monica absorbing it in that tiny room.
It is. It's difficult to watch. It was difficult to be there with them and experience it. But, you know, it really is bringing to light a different side of the Holocaust. As I said, I'd done quite a few documentaries and other work about the Holocaust. Mm-hmm. And this was really, you know, meeting Monica was the first time I started to think about the impact that, you know, of what the Nazis did, not only on the Jews and their other victims, but on their own families, on their, you know, children and grandchildren. And, you know, this felt like a very, very important story. And it really did come from, you know, Monica seeking out Helen over the years. Even way before I met Monica, she had made attempts to reach out to Helen and to meet her. And she was never able to connect with her until, by complete coincidence, I met Monica and I had met Helen recently before.
Monica, your mother had spoken to you about these two girls who had worked in the villa at the concentration camp. What was it about what you had heard that made you, in spite of everything, made you want to meet Helen Jonas?
Oh, God, you know, I couldn't meet anybody as long as my mother was alive. And but when Ruth was dead, I remembered all she had told me about Plaszow. And Plaszow was, for me, it was just another world. It was not the cruel reality. It was, I have to apologize, but sometimes I thought it was a paradise.
It was a big house. They lived well, even as death was all around them.
And you know, as long as I lived, Amon hung in her room. He was there. He was always there. He was always present. She didn't live without him, not only for one day. I had not only to live in Germany, I had to live with the Germans. And that is different if you live in the States or if you live in Germany.
There's a moment, a difficult moment in the documentary when Helen, you're standing in the villa where she was in effect enslaved, and you're trying to explain to her how this interaction with the Jews was described to you when you were a child, and she just doesn't want to hear it. Let's listen.
Yeah, but that was what I was told, you know. Of course he killed some Jews. And, you know, it was a problem that she always mixed her words. She didn't know anymore what she had told me before. But I remembered what she had told me before. And so I asked her, how many Jews did he kill? Yeah, he killed some Jews. I didn't know anything from her. It was, I only can tell you, Amon was for her like an icon. She was carrying him, and she loved him, and she, when all the women of the Nazis didn't want the names of the Nazis anymore, she ran to get his name. I was under a massive pressure. I couldn't say anything. She told me every day she will commit suicide. What could I do? I had to care about her.
This was your mother. She ultimately, sadly, did commit suicide. But Monica, if you would, let me play a bit of this tape from this scene where you're trying to convey your childhood understanding to Helen, and she's really doesn't want to hear it.
What I heard when I was a child, he only killed some Jews
because they were Jews.
No, because of sanitary problems.
Yeah. Because they were just Jews.
They Monica, they were
they wouldn't go to a bathroom. They wouldn't use a bathroom.
Oh, yeah.
And therefore, there was a disease. And then when he saw some man...
Monica, please, I have to stop you right now.
That was
because
my history.
Yeah, but not, from now on, you can see that it's the ignorance. It was just simply we were tortured and killed because we were Jews. That's it.
A tough, tough, profoundly difficult meeting in the villa where Monica Hedrig's father was the commandant at the camp. Let's go to Stowe, Vermont, and Evelyn. Evelyn, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
Hello, Monica.
Hello.
Hi, dear. I do want to tell you that my heart aches for what you have experienced in this short life. And I think that we're all Monicas in some way, and we're all Helens, victims that become heroes through how we can react to the pain that comes with being part of humanity. And I greatly empathize with both of you women and for using your pain to help heal through art and through the media. I mean, for you to open up all these wounds, it just brings me to tears, really. I think that this message, it's so important that it's heard. I didn't actually even know about this Holocaust until I was in college, and my professor was Jewish, and he said, can you believe how was it possible that over 6 million human beings were taken away from the villages? All of a sudden the families would be there, and then the families would go and put on trains, and the little children separated from their parents. And, you know, it kind of reminds me of that song by the Rolling Stones. You probably don't know it, but Sympathy for the Devil. And we are all victims. And I think that the children of today need to hear about the torture and the horrible deaths. And I think that in some ways it's so poignant and so painful, but that I think that with the war in Iraq and what's happened there, that in so many ways there are parallels for human beings that have suffered as you have. And I love you for what you're doing, and my heart goes out to you.
Evelyn, thank you for your call. Perhaps all victims, but in very different ways. Let me get another call right here. Susan from Reston, Virginia. Susan, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
My father had a similar experience to Helen. He was 16 when the war broke out, and he was in a labor camp for 4 years. And I can't imagine him having the courage that Helen did to go back and face Monica.
Yeah.
I've tried to get him to participate in the Shoah Project, and he's always come up to the final hour and then sort of backed out because I think it's just too painful for him. And as growing up as the daughter of a Holocaust survivor, I've always had this insatiable quest to hear stories about other survivors and to get more information from my father. He kind of buries a lot of it and doesn't want to really address it. And I think the trauma has just been with him throughout his life. So as a child of that, I think it's almost like I would like to meet Monica, and I would like to meet those who, you know, were so cruel to my father. It's sort of almost in a way is like a form of healing for those of us who live with this, you know, throughout the generations. I'm looking forward to watching PBS tonight.
See the film, Susan. It's powerful. And these two women are indeed brave in the way they approach one another. Here's a moment. When she was young, Monica's mother had taunted her, saying she was like her father. But here Monica asks Helen if she thinks that could be so.
Am I better than my father? She told me, you are like him and you will die like him. And so I was always looking in my life, maybe I am really like him. But I am not Harmon.
You have a choice.
Yes, I know.
And those people here,
died because of one man, Armand Goetz, in a cruel way. We just can't be silent. We just can't push things away. They're there. And you see, they disturb our lives.
They disturb our lives, says Helen Jonas, the survivor at the camp with Monica Hertwig. James, in the film, Monica says at one point, every father in a war should think about his children. The way that the pain, the scar of this echoes down on all sides is so abundantly evident. But there, a warning from Monica to potential perpetrators about the generations that come after them, James. It's a powerful insight.
It is, very much so, and I've heard that from a lot of people who've seen the film. They think about their own parents, who may not have been involved in anything even close to this, but it does start to make you think about the generations and the impact that we have on our children and our grandchildren. If I may, just one quick thing, Tom, the caller, yes, Evelyn, had mentioned that she didn't really learn and know much about the Holocaust until she got into college.
That seems hard to... well,
it's interesting because I've been asked so many times, you know, why are you making another film about the Holocaust? Aren't there enough films about the Holocaust? And I can't tell you how many times people have said that to me. Mm. I believe this story is very different. It's something we haven't heard before. But still, I think there are a lot of people in this country and around the world who don't know what Auschwitz is, don't know what it means, don't understand the context. And I hope that people won't continue to take that attitude and that people will expose themselves to films like this and others about the Holocaust.
Let me get one more call from Burlington, Vermont. Robert, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom. Thanks for taking my call. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to say that my wife is German, and after spending a little bit of time in Germany, I felt a sense of shame that a lot of the people, you know, the younger people too, carry around on their shoulders. That's, to me, was quite extraordinary. We came back to Germany after spending a bit of time out of the country, or she had been out of the country just after the World Cup, and when she saw the flags up, she was shocked, and she had not seen that before, and she didn't like to see it. And I think that's how powerful this whole notion is. And she's 34 years old, and she still carries this sense of shame on her shoulders.
Robert, thanks for calling. Monica, how do you find Germans look back on these memories now? Do they want to forget? I know you've been very active in trying to teach.
Yes, I want to forget. I don't want to forget. And I will tell you one thing to make it clear. I am not a victim. The victim is Helen. Mm-hmm. Helen and the Jews. I am not a victim. I just try to come into a dialogue with the survivors, you know? Mm-hmm. But I am not a victim.
James, Monica's very clear on that. There is a distinction here. For all of the openness that she demonstrated here,
it's
not the same.
Sorry, Helen's not here today with us. And yeah, it has become very overwhelming for her to continue to talk about this. And in recent few days, you know, she did do some other interviews.
Yeah.
But she does say, you know, Helen does feel that Monica is, and as she puts it, in a way, a victim herself. I mean, you can't compare what Monica's been through in her life with what Helen experienced and what the Jewish victims experienced. But in a way, yeah, as a matter of fact, in a way, we all are. I mean, this is something we're all inheriting, no matter where you live. It's something that is rippling. The effects of the Holocaust are rippling through generations.
Monica Hertwig in Weissenburg, Germany, daughter of Armand Goetz, and fully deeply revealed anyway in the new documentary, Inheritance. Monica, thank you for your time and for your openness and for your honesty.
You're welcome.
Thank you very much for joining us today. And James Maul, thank you. Thank you very much, Monica. And
Thank you, Tom.
Helen, Jonas, we're sorry we missed you here. Perhaps we'll have another time. And James Moll, director and producer of Inheritance, airing tonight on PBS. Thank you very much for joining us this hour, James.
I appreciate your having me. Thank you.
Listeners, you can get more details on the documentary at our website, onpointradio.org. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.